Welcome to episode 1088 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Worship is one of the defining characteristics of humanity's relationship with God. From the beginning of creation, God designed people to know Him, walk with Him, and glorify Him. But after the fall, humanity's ability to commune with God was disrupted, and sin created distance between the Creator and His people. Genesis 4:26 marks a pivotal moment in human history, the first recorded instance of people calling on the name of the Lord. This verse signals the beginning of organized worship, prayer, and the recognition of humanity's dependence on God. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Why does this moment matter? And how does it shape the way we understand worship today? Let's explore the significance of Genesis 4:26, the heart of true worship, and how we, like those in ancient times, must return to God with hearts that seek Him earnestly. Genesis 4 introduces the first generation born outside of Eden, revealing both the consequences of sin and the continuation of God's presence among humanity. Adam and Eve's first sons, Cain and Abel, brought offerings to the Lord, but their hearts and attitudes toward worship were vastly different. Abel's faithful sacrifice was accepted, while Cain's was rejected, leading to jealousy, anger, and the first murder. Following Cain's tragic departure, his descendants built the first human cities, developing culture and technology, yet moving further from God. By contrast, Adam and Eve welcomed another son, Seth, through whom a godly lineage was preserved. It is within Seth's lineage that true worship began to reemerge.
At that time, people began to call upon the name of the Lord.
This verse suggests a collective turning back to God, the beginning of corporate worship, prayer, and the recognition of God's sovereignty. After generations of spiritual decline, there was a renewed desire to seek God's presence and rely on Him. This moment is not just about individual devotion. It represents a shift toward organized, intentional worship. This phrase, "call upon the name of the Lord," appears multiple times throughout Scripture, often in connection with worship, prayer, and seeking God's help. These words reveal several key aspects of worship. Calling upon God, or calling on His name, means to acknowledge God's power and sovereignty while expressing dependence on Him. This is not simply speaking God's name, but crying out to Him in faith and surrender. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 50, verse 15,
"Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me."
Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 13,
"For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Here he quotes what the prophet Joel wrote hundreds of years earlier. These verses show that calling on God's name is an act of faith and trust, recognizing that only He can rescue, restore, and guide us. Calling on God's name also means declaring His greatness, much like when the psalmists would praise God's name as an act of worship.
Psalm 105, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples." Psalm 96, verses 2 and 3. "Sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day, declare His glory among the nations."
True worship is not silent. It involves declaring God's goodness, faithfulness, and salvation. It is an act of testifying to the world who God is and what He has done. Throughout Scripture, calling on the Lord's name signifies a covenant relationship with Him. This is not just about rituals or tradition. It is about a deep personal connection with God. Genesis 12, verse 8 tells us that Abraham built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. To call on God's name means to seek Him, know Him, and commit to walking in His ways. The significance of Genesis 4:26 becomes clearer when we compare the family lines of Cain and Seth. Cain's lineage pursued human achievement, self-sufficiency, and violence. Seth's lineage recognized their dependence on God and began to call upon his name. Cain's descendants were worldly and ambitious, yet they did not seek after God. Seth's descendants, however, were known for their faith and relationship with God, a lineage that would ultimately lead to Noah, Abraham, and eventually Christ himself. This contrast teaches us a valuable lesson. Worship is about choosing dependence on God over self-sufficiency. When we seek our own way, like Cain's descendants, we drift further from God's presence. But when we, like Seth's line, recognize our need for him, we begin to walk in true worship. But is this just interesting history? Not at all. This early moment in worship history carries several key applications for us today. First, worship begins with a humble heart. True worship is not about ritual or performance. It is about humility and surrender. Worship begins when we recognize our need for God and call upon him in faith and repentance. Next, worship is a lifestyle, not just a moment. The people of Seth's lineage did not just worship occasionally. They called on the Lord's name regularly. Worship is not just for Saturday or Sunday mornings. It is meant to be the constant cry of our hearts. Next, worship unites God's people. Genesis 4:26 marks the beginning of corporate worship, showing that worship is not just an individual act, but a communal one. When we gather as believers to seek God, we reflect this ancient and sacred practice. Finally, worship is a response to sin and brokenness. This moment in Genesis happens after the devastating effects of sin in the world. Worship becomes a way of returning to God, seeking restoration, and realigning our hearts with him. Genesis 4:26 is a reminder that worship is not an afterthought. It is essential to our faith. When the world was turning away from God, a remnant of people chose to seek him, depend on him, and proclaim his name. We are invited to do the same. In a world that often turns to self-sufficiency, distraction, and pride, God calls us to humble ourselves, seek his face, and call on his name. Worship is not just about singing or rituals. It is about a daily posture of dependence, surrender, and praise.
He's not some distant, uncaring God. He's a father, a shepherd, a friend who walks beside you even when you don't feel his presence. He's the breath in your lungs, the beat of your heart. He's the reason for the sunrise and the promise of a new day. So my little ones, call upon the Lord. Call upon him in joy, and he will multiply your happiness. Call upon him in sorrow, and he will give you strength to bear it. Call upon him in doubt, and he will guide you to truth. Call upon him always, for he is always listening. He is always there. He's our hope, our salvation, our everything. And he will be yours too, if you only call.
Father, thank you for the privilege of calling on your name. Teach us to worship you in spirit and truth, to seek you earnestly, and to proclaim your greatness in all we do. May our lives reflect the heart of true worship, drawing closer to you each day. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full. Today.